We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You're listening to From the Chair, and I'm your host, Mike Hamilton. Join us each episode as we talk to athletic directors from across America. We're going to talk about topics like leadership, career development, issues of the day, and I can promise you we're going to have some fun along the way, too. So sit back, listen in, and let's dive in. Let's go. Mike, good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Michael. It's good to see you.
Man, always good to be with you, and so glad you were able to join us for a few minutes today as we kind of just talk about a few things, both around Charlotte and your brand, but also just nationally. And so thanks for spending a few minutes. We appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you know, I was thinking here in prep for this, you grew up in the shadows of a college football stadium, right? And if I recall correctly, one or both parents actually maybe were professors on campus or taught on campus. And so if we had to dial it like way back, would you say that those were the early stages of you beginning the track towards where you are today?
There's no question. There's no question. That's exactly where I fell in love with college athletics. And, you know, at a very early age, knew that I wanted to have a career in the field. I grew up in Clemson, where my father was a professor there. My mom was a school teacher. And, you know, I just grew up around all of it. I mean, I went to everything that they had, Clemson had, and was a huge fan. You know, I sold game programs at the football games, used to go to their sports camps in the summer. My mom used to laugh because she'd give me $5 for the week spending money at the camp, and I would come back with a souvenir from the camp. She's like, "You live here. You don't need to buy a souvenir from the Clemson basketball camp." But it was awesome. I loved it. I painted tiger paws on people's faces when I was in high school. You earn $100 a game, you know, wandering around the lots and then going to the game. And so, yeah, I just, you know, I fell in love with it all there. And, you know, that was at the time, that was when the ACC, you know, only had 8 schools. FSU had not joined the league yet. Georgia Tech had just come on board. And but you had some incredible coaches in that league in basketball. You know, that was, you know, Dean Smith and Mike Krzyzewski and Lefty Driesell and Jim Valvano and Terry Holland. And I mean, every game, you know, they would come in, someone would come into Little John and it was a big deal. So yeah, that was where I developed my passion for it. and still have it to this day, man. It's we're so lucky to have a chance to work in this crazy business.
There's no doubt. Well, you know, for sure, I would think if you sort of looked at your career trajectory, you would have to say that your time at Florida was another big moment in your timeline, and working with one of the greats, the legends in the business, and Jeremy. And I was reflecting on the staff that you guys had there during your time there with you and Steve and Chip and John and the Gator Boosters, and you know, just an unbelievable group of folks, and Linda, you know, and but Jeremy leading the way. And I know he's been a guy that I've looked up to for so long when we'd sit around AD meetings, SEC meetings in Destin or wherever, as having a lot of sage wisdom and always, always defending the Florida brand. So, you know, I'd like to just hear sort of about his influence on your career, you personally, and the things that you took from your time there at Florida.
Well, Florida really shapes me as a professional and as a person. I spent 24 years of my career there, my life there. You know, I really grew up. I grew up in Clemson, but I really grew up to be the person that I am today based on my time in Gainesville. And it was an incredible experience. I'm so grateful for it. I'll never, ever, ever forget it or take it for granted. The things that we were able to experience as a team. And like you said, there's so many amazing people who've been a part of that program. You know, future ADs, Greg McGarity went on to be an AD at Georgia, you know, from there as well as another one I think of. And, you know, Laird Veach, you know, Laird's now the AD at Memphis. And we just have some really talented, great people there who, you know, not only were administrators, but coaches. You think about the greatness that, you know, we had a chance to be around, you know, Billy Donovan and Steve Spurrier and Mary Wise and Becky Burley and just Miles Holloway. I mean, I'm going to leave somebody out and get in trouble because there's so many of them who've won championships. You know, I mean, think about Olympians, you know, Miles Holloway and Greg Troy, you know, swimming and track. I mean, just on and on and on, the number of coaches and athletes, you know, Tim Tebow and Joakim Noah and Abby Wambach and Caleb Dressel and Ryan Lochte. You got to be kidding. You know, I mean, that's like, I got to be around some people who, you know, if most people, if they had a chance to be with one of those in their career, would feel blessed. So, you know, I say all that not to brag, just to say I recognize how lucky that I was and that we were to be a part of a program like that. And, you know, it all starts with the guy you mentioned, Jeremy Foley. Jeremy's the one who, you know, really took that program to heights that had never before been seen. You know, interestingly, I actually had Jeremy here on our campus here at Charlotte last week to speak to our coaches and to our senior staff. It's the first time we brought him here to speak to our staff in the 3.5 years I've been here at Charlotte. And honestly, I'd sort of been biding my time to invite him. The COVID got in the way too, but I really wanted to sort of get established here and get settled before I brought him in. But man, the messages that he reinforced with our group was really powerful, you know. And so you reflect on the impact that he had on so many, not just me, but all the staff and all the coaches and all the student athletes. And think about this. So when he was the AD at Florida, 130 Southeastern Conference championships, 130, 27 national championships. That's, wow. I mean, that's incredible. Okay. And so, and you think about like the all sports trophy in the SEC, I think in the 23 years he was the AD, the Gators won it 22 times. Oh, by the way, that league's pretty good. You know, it's loaded with schools that are some of the best in the country, you know, and in the Director's Cup to finish, it's the only school in the history of the Director's Cup, 33 years, I think, to finish in the top 10 every single year. And most years it was top five under his leadership. So, you know, I'm putting all that out there just to say the results speak for themselves based on, you know, his tenure. And, but it goes so much deeper than that, just his impact on me as a person and as a professional and so many others, you know, his leadership. I've learned almost everything I've learned about leadership. I learned from him, either directly or by just observing and watching and participating in so many coaching searches, crises that we managed. And even earlier in my career, when I wasn't necessarily in the inner circle yet, and I was just sort of, you know, working my way up within the organization, just to see how he operated and how he evolved as a leader. Yeah. was tremendous.
Yeah. Would you say, what are the one or two things maybe you would point out as sort of the critical factors for leadership that you took from him? What specifically, what you might have learned from him in the way of leadership?
Well, I think that there are a lot of lessons. One is, it's in the end, it's about people. You know, this is about people, and so you have to invest in people. And it's when I say invest, it's not just making sure you give people raises. You know, you've got to care about people. You've got to pay attention. You know, I would say, you know, you don't have to be a micromanager, but you have to understand what's happening, what's going on. You have to care. And so Jeremy demonstrated that day in and day out. He cared about people in a way that's uncommon, and knew about people. You know, whether you were the head football coach or the assistant marketing director, he knew your name, and he knew something about you too. Like he would stroll into your office. You know, seriously, you could be an assistant ops person, and he'd roll in there and start busting your shoes about your favorite Major League Baseball team. He's a big Red Sox fan, and so he'd give you heck if your team wasn't doing well, right? But he knew. And so I think that was a big piece of it, is just, you know, people are motivated when they feel like they are a part of it, and they feel a part of it when leadership recognizes people as people and not just as objects who perform job duties. And so I think that's a huge piece of it. I think, you know, expectation of excellence is another important part of, the leadership style that he had. And what we've tried to bring here to Charlotte is just, it's not okay to just be okay. Like, we're in this to be the best we can be. And that sounds sort of obvious, you know, but honestly, it's not always the case within organizations. People sort of can sometimes fall into bad habits, old habits, become complacent. And you recognize in this business, I mean, we're here to graduate student athletes, and we're here to win championships, and we're here to engage our university's constituents. That's why we do what we do. And so, if you're not doing all you can to try to compete for championships, I don't know why you do what we're doing, you know? And so there was an expectation that, being average was not good enough. And certainly at Florida, even being above average really wasn't good enough. You had to be excellent, you know, to be excellent. So, and then I think having a passion for what you do, you know, is another huge, huge piece of what he talks about still to this day is, you know, you have to have an energy, a relentless energy and a passion for what you do, for your people, for your mission, you know, and for the people who you serve. And so in the end, you know, and I could go on a list of, I could talk all for a whole hour about the leadership lessons, but I think those are some of the key ones that that I learned from him.
Yeah. But, you know, I'll say this, having known you for a long time and having seen your experience at Florida and the success you guys had, to me, I'm sure you would have had, you have had a number of different chances to move to somewhere, you know, to be an athletic director. And for me, my observation is that you've got the perfect match between yourself and where you are now. Not only your Carolina's roots, but just the energy that you exude and the kind of school that I've experienced Charlotte to be historically, I think it's a really great match. So as you looked across the landscape and this opportunity came up, what was attractive to you? I know you've been in the job now 3 years, so it's not like you got this job yesterday, but what was the alignment for you with this particular university when you were looking?
You know, professionally and personally, it just seemed like such a great fit. So because I was at a place for so long, and I can't say that was necessarily by design. And when I first started at UF, I don't think I ever envisioned I'd be there for 24 years. But, you know, I had the opportunity every few years to grow as a professional in that organization and take on new responsibilities. So I didn't leave. And there were some opportunities to get involved with some other searches. You know, and I got involved in a very small number. The vast majority I didn't even get involved with. And that's the case with a lot of the other senior staff members at Florida, too, you know, who've been pretty selective or choosy, because it's, you know, in the business that we're in, is kind of the pinnacle. You know, Florida is like the pinnacle of what we do. And so I was not willing to just pick up and leave for just anything. And to me, quality of life is really important too. Like I want to know that I can be happy. My family can be happy living where we're going to live. And it's about the job, but you know, it wasn't just, oh, I've got to be an AD. I want to have the title, because I've often said this, the road is littered with really talented, smart, great administrators and coaches who took bad jobs where there's a lack of alignment on campus. Maybe there's a lack of resources and it's a false hope that you can be great. It's not a false hope here at Charlotte. What I saw when I came here to interview, I was blown away by the beauty of this campus. I was blown away by the potential. And I say that and I hesitate because all of our fans and all of our supporters here, we've talked about, we're going to stop talking about potential. We're going to start realizing our potential. But this is what I saw when I arrived here 3.5 years ago. Just in a professional sense, it just seemed almost too good to be true. Like the foundation that had been built here by Judy Rose, my predecessor, who did a phenomenal job of building beautiful facilities here on our campus, including our brand new on-campus football stadium that's right in the heart of our campus. You know, it was just obvious to me. And I love that, you know, this place had a tremendous basketball tradition in history. You know, Final Four, a lot of NCAA tournament appearances, but also had started football. And so that excited me as well. And so on the professional level, you know, seeing the alignment that I felt when I met with the chancellor at the time, Phil Dubois, and the cabinet and the board, you know, that's the only way you have a shot is if you have alignment. And I felt that existed here. And then on a personal level, you know, the quality of life, come on. I mean, Charlotte is such a great place to live, you know, and it was a chance to get back to the Carolinas for me, which, you know, and obviously loved my time in Florida, but the Carolinas are home for me. This is home for me. You know, I own a home in Blowing Rock, an hour and 45 minutes from here in the mountains. I love the mountains. You know, I bought it 8 years ago when I was in Gainesville. So, you know, when I got this job, my friends back home in Gainesville were like, wait a minute, how close is your mountain house? I'm like, it's less than 2 hours, you know, and they're like, that's amazing. And so to have a chance to take advantage of that, so my dad and stepmom moved back to the Clemson area. They live right outside Clemson and Westminster. I have family still in Charlotte. This is where my parents grew up. They grew up in Charlotte. So, you know, it was just like, come on, the personal piece of this coupled with this professional opportunity, the time was right. The time was right. So I look back at my experience with incredible fondness at Florida, but the reward that we have gotten here by being in Charlotte the last 3.5 years has been spectacular, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. Well, so I have three separate questions that I was going to ask about this next thing. But as I listen to you, I'm not so sure that they don't all three tie together. So let me pose these three pieces of thought and then you can bring it home. Right. So I was going to ask you, you know, as an institution, I think there are 7 FBS programs in the state of North Carolina. You're in a city where professional sports is a significant piece of the landscape. So how do you go about finding your place in that Charlotte landscape? That's the first question. The second is, I know that you guys have just gone through an extensive rebranding process, both in athletics and I think at the university level. And so how does that dovetail with that, or the reason behind that? And then thirdly, you mentioned the starting of the football program, where your board and Judy and everyone sort of help launch that some, you know, in the 2010, 2013 timeframe. And then obviously it launched in 2013. And then now you've come in and you're putting fuel to the fire, you know, an assessment of sort of like, where are you guys in your timeline for where Charlotte football can be now and what's to come. And so that's a lot. And, you know, that may even take the rest of our time, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on those things.
Well, I agree. I think they are all related, particularly as we see the landscape of college athletics now and what we are as a program. You know, I think, you know, we, you know, are in a market certainly that does have a lot of alumni from various schools who reside here, mainly from the ACC and some from the SEC, you know, and so we understand we coexist with that. But we are Charlotte's hometown team. OK, and we can be that. For those who went to other schools. At the same time, you know, we also have, we also have 80,000 alumni that live within an hour of our campus. You know, those are major numbers. We have 152,000 living alumni, 80,000 of which live here in Charlotte. And yes, we have other FBS programs throughout this state and in the South Carolina. We're right on the border. We don't worry about that. I mean, yeah, you do a SWOT analysis, and of course you can say here are the threats, et cetera. But let's focus on us for a second. And that's what we really try to do here. Let's focus on what we have to offer. This is a great sports city. Okay. You mentioned, you know, the pro sports here. You got the Panthers and the Hornets and the Charlotte Knights and the Checkers. And, you know, now we've got, you know, Charlotte FC from MLS. That's all great. I mean, this is a city that loves its sports, cares about sports. And we've got amazing partnerships with those franchises, so which really helps our program, right? But our institution, we're the fastest growing university in the state of North Carolina. There's 17 schools in the state system, all right? And we are currently the third largest school now in the state at 30,488. For the third straight year, we set an enrollment record. We have a record freshman class of over 4,200 this year. Last year, we had a record freshman class of over 4,000. This is in the middle of a pandemic, and this is happening here, you know? And the growth of this institution over the past decade is responsible for almost 50% of the growth of the entire UNC system. So you tell me that we don't have something special going on here. We do as an institution. It's a beautiful residential campus. You know, we have about 7,000 students now who live on campus and another 15,000 to 16,000 that live within a mile of campus at, you know, student focused apartments, right? And so it's just an incredible amount of momentum we have as a university and the drive that we have to be, you know, something. You know, our provost said this to me the other day. I think it's the perfect word for it. I mentioned all the change that we're experiencing. She says, I'm not sure I'd even call it change. This is a metamorphosis. And I said, that's why you're the provost. You say things like metamorphosis. But it's true. I think that's a great word for it. We are experiencing a metamorphosis here at this university. Part of the rebranding that we went through this past year in athletics, and you see the helmet behind me with the All NC, with the pickaxe inside the C, and on my shirt, the CLT, you know, is to connect us to our city, to connect us to the city of Charlotte. So we are Charlotte's hometown team. And that is how we are. We've branded ourselves, and it's taken root so quickly. Those processes are hard. I mean, they take a lot of work by a lot of people, but it has taken root. And we were looking for a simple, clean, memorable design that would resonate. And it has absolutely done that for us. And if you put our marks now up against others at, you know, throughout Group of Five or the P5, we look like we belong. We do. And so it's a really clean, fresh look for us. And you know what? A year into it, the university said, hey, you know what? It's working for athletics. Let's adopt it for the institution. Talk about alignment, you know, to have that opportunity to have your university adopt the mark that athletics have been using. So it's no longer the athletics mark. It's the university mark, the All NC. So just so much positive energy and momentum going on here. And then the football piece, you know, thankfully, football was started and we had our first season 9 years ago. You know, I think there might have been a chance football would have started sooner. There were some other factors in the 2000s, actually including 9/11, among other things, that were caused setbacks and the financial crisis that caused setbacks to football along the way. But we have it now, you know, and we are on a rocket ship, as you said. I mean, Will Healy, what Will has done here in two seasons in one game, and I don't even count last season. I mean, I only account the sports that had great years last year in COVID, you know, because the ones who struggled, I mean, they had real reasons to struggle. I mean, you know, so we're sitting here right now 2-0 in football, you know, our first ever win over an ACC opponent, our opener in a full house on national TV. We beat Duke on a thrilling comeback win, and then to follow up with another win last weekend. You know, we go to our first ever bowl game 2 years ago under Will's leadership and his first season here. There's a lot of excitement and a lot of momentum around our football program. And I think Chris Fuller, our deputy AD, who we brought on board when I started here just a few months afterwards, summed it up best for me, because he actually came here from Syracuse where he was a deputy AD. And I know you know Chris, and you worked with Chris for a long time at UT. You hired him. You know, he came in and he saw this campus. And he had lived in Charlotte previously in another lifetime when he worked for the ACC many years ago. He saw the campus, and his comment to me was, he said, this is an emerging brand in an exploding market. And that's the perfect summary statement of what we are. And I think it shows in every way that you look at our university and every way you look at our athletic program.
Yeah, that's, man, that's a great summary of the whole deal. Yeah, so you mentioned Chris. I've got to give him a shout out for just a second. I actually texted him last night and I said, if you could say one thing about Mike that you've experienced to be consistent, what would it be? And he just said, Mike Hill is true to his values and he lives them out every day. And I think in today's world where, you know, there are a lot of people that don't, Mike, you know that, right? And so that's one of the greatest compliments someone could give you. And I know what type person he is, and to bring Chris in as a seasoned guy who's been in some great roles, some great places, and you know, he has not been an athletic director at this point, but I think could very well be one if someone, you know, would just take an extra look, right? He's got all the qualities. But my point is this: I know you guys have known each other for a long time, and he's been around a long time, but you saw the opportunity to bring in someone who had a vast amount of experience in your, you know, alongside you in your first role as athletic director. You did that for a reason, right? And so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, so we have a fantastic staff here that I inherited when Judy left. And, you know, there was some transition the first year because that happens, right? You have new leadership and some people decide to stay, some decide to go. But the core of our executive team, you know, remained. And but we knew that we had a significant hole to fill on our staff, and that was to oversee external. And I remember this at the time, trying to identify what we wanted to do there. I mean, Chris Fuller would have been at the top of the list at any point. I just didn't think we could get it. You know, I mean, he's deputy AD at an ACC program. And Chris and I have known each other forever. We've been friends for 30 years, but never had a chance to work together at the same place. We worked together in the same league when he was at Tennessee and I was at Florida, but never on the same staff. And so we knew we needed to hire someone in the external area. And, you know, I was having a conversation with him. Frankly, it wasn't to try to recruit him. It was just to talk about life and the job. And, you know, it was obvious to me after sort of talking about this role I was looking to fill that he might have an interest in it. And I was kind of taken aback. I said, Chris, I don't know if I can afford you, you know, here at Charlotte. I didn't bring the Gators budget with me, unfortunately. So, but, you know, we kept talking, and the more we talked, and then when he came down to visit in person, it was pretty obvious that this could be something really special. And yeah, I mean, for me to be a first time athletic director, I mean, I don't care how long you've been in this business. And I've been in it a long time. The first time you were actually in the chair, it's just different. You know, I knew that coming in, there were going to be things I'd never seen or dealt with before. And to have as much experience around me would be invaluable. And, like I said, there's some great people already here on our exec team. Darren Spies, the CFO, has been here a long time. Chris Thomason, you know, we hired Reagan Hill as our SWA and executive associate who replaced Kim Whitestone, who had done a great job for us as well. And then you bring in a guy like Chris Fuller. I mean, we announced that and my phone just blew up. I mean, people across the country are like, holy cow, are you kidding me? How did you do that? You guys are going to make a formidable team. And I do believe that is the case. It's like having another AD on our staff. Chris Fuller is an AD. He should be an AD right now. It's a crime that he's not. And at some point, some smart chancellor is going to give him that chance and they'll never look back. But, you know, for now, we're going to take advantage of the fact that we have someone of his talent and of his character and his strength and his experience on our team. And it's a joy to work with him. I mean, it really is. The other thing about Chris, as you know, is he'll tell it like it is. And yeah, he's not afraid to tell me if I'm dead wrong, which he does a lot. And, you know, and we have really healthy conversations and healthy debates, but it's respectful because we respect one another. And I think it's just been a really great match for our university.
That's awesome. Well, hey, look, Mike, I could go, you know, there are a lot of different ways we could take this conversation, right? Pandemic, NIL, realignment, transfer portal, whatever. And I know you don't have all day. I do want to ask you just real quickly about NIL as it relates to Charlotte and what you're seeing. And then we'll close out with a couple of fun questions. But, you know, so this answer may have been different a month ago. and it may be different a month from now. But as you begin to live in this world of name, image, and likeness, and you know we're in our third month of the reality of it all, as it starts to settle in, what are you seeing from your chair there in Charlotte?
I think people are still finding their way a little bit, and this thing is going to evolve, continue to evolve and grow over the next few months and years. I'm thrilled that we're finally at a point where we're actually able to put it into practice. And we all knew from the outset, and even before the outset, when we were trying to figure out what the heck the rules were going to be, you know, that there would be some trial and error, you know, and there would be some, maybe some unintended consequences, and we'll work through that. But it was the right thing to do. It was the right decision to make. You know, and so I'm thrilled for our student athletes and for student athletes across the country to have that opportunity. And I think for us, you know, we're excited because a place like Charlotte, you know, we've got a ton of Fortune 500 companies here. And like you said, an exploding market. There are going to be so many opportunities for student athletes in Charlotte versus maybe some other programs that are based in smaller college towns where it's why we have 80,000 alums who still live here because there are jobs here. There's business here. There are corporate headquarters that are here. So we're going to see these opportunities grow, and we continue to educate our student athletes as a part of our Green Light program. And, you know, again, we're just getting started. I think that, you know, obviously the opportunities that we see at our level right now versus what you might see at an Ohio State are not the same, right? They're not, we knew that. They're not going to be the same right now. But I think over the course of time, we're going to see those kinds of NIL opportunities for 49er student athletes evolve to something that's really exciting for them as well.
No doubt, man. Well, great community will be very helpful to all of that, right? So, hey, let's spin into a couple just quick hit questions, fun stuff as we go out here. So you were in Florida for, you know, a quarter of a century. Wow. East Coast or West Coast? And when you went to the beach in Florida, where was your place that you like to head out to?
Well, you know, I'd get in trouble if I said anything other than the Gulf Coast because my wife is from Tampa. So I'm going to say the Gulf Coast, man. And there's so many beautiful beaches in Florida. You know, I used to spend, you know, a decent amount of time over at St. Augustine and Crescent Beach. You know, it was kind of a hop, skip, and a jump to get over there. It was shorter than getting to Tampa and the Gulf. But so I love Crescent Beach. But then obviously the Gulf is beautiful. I mean, it's just so serene. And the Gulf is just, it's very different than the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. So you have a young family and then you have an older son. And so if I said, what do you do to relax? Is that taking the family and going up to the mountains, or what is that for you?
That's exactly the answer. Anytime I have a chance to get up to Blowing Rock, to our home, especially, and in fact, in a week and a half, that's exactly what's going to happen with my family. We just had a baby boy 5 weeks ago. And we have a 2-year-old daughter. And then my son, who is a sophomore at the University of Florida, Luke, is going to be coming up to see our football game on Friday night, the 24th, against Middle. And then we're going to head up the mountain on Saturday and spend a couple of days up there together. So there's nothing like it for me. That's my happy place. It restores my soul to get up there to Blowing Rock and to sit out there on the deck and enjoy life.
We share that. We share that love of the mountains, man. So this is a dangerous question for somebody in your role of influence in the state of North Carolina, because I'm going to ask a pork barbecue question. Okay. So, obviously in the Carolina, South Carolina, it's mustard based. In the Piedmont, it's ketchup based. In Eastern North Carolina, it's vinegar based. What wins the day for Mike Hill?
So you're going to think this is odd because I've got a place up in the mountains in the western part of the state and grew up in South Carolina, the northwestern corner, but I love the eastern base. I'm a big vinegar based guy, and I love to cook. I love to grill. So nothing like, you know, smoking a Boston butt and pull that thing apart and do a little, you know, vinegar sauce on there with some crushed red pepper. Man, it's the best.
That's awesome. I also share that with you, by the way. You may not have known that.
I know you had good taste, Mike.
Yeah. So, all right, last question. I know you're a music lover too, Mike, and so it's two part question. So the first one is, if someone were to look at your Spotify playlist or your iPhone or whatever, what's the band on there that it might surprise folks that is a regular, you know, occurrence on your playlist? Number one. And then number two, given, let's call it face value dollars, what's the band that given the chance to see live, you're going to try to go see every time possible?
Okay. Well, people who know me well know the answer to number two for sure. I'm going to start with your first one though. Is there a band that or a musician that would surprise people? I don't know if it would surprise people, but I do love music and I love live music. And I, you know, that's another joy living in Charlotte. There's so many great venues. It's been really hard the last 18 months not to go and experience it. I love to go to concerts. You know, I love Cage the Elephant, as I'm a big fan of Cage the Elephant. I also like Vampire Weekend, Nathaniel Rateliff. Those are some groups that I, you know, performers that I really like a lot. And then there's no question my favorite band, you know, I would go every time possible is the Avett Brothers. And of course, they're right up the road here from Concord. And I've seen them over 20 times in concert. And that's not nearly enough. Like, I can't wait to go back and see them again. And they're just, their music brings joy to my life and have for a long, long time. But live music is important to me. It's going to be great when I can feel comfortable going back to a concert venue again.
No doubt. Well, the next time you play middle in the Nashville area, you come over a day early and we'll go catch some live music together. How's that sound?
I love it, man. I will take you up on that for sure. You can count on it, Michael.
All right. Well, hey, look, thanks for being with me today and appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us.
No, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it so much, Mike. Thanks for everything you do, man.
All right. This has been From the Chair with Mike Hill from Charlotte, and I'm your host, Mike Hamilton. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next time.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.